A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello babies.
Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
This is our podcast, Baby Geniuses.
Is Joey here today?
No, Joey had to work.
What's Joey's job?
He's a grave digger.
And he has like a PhD in grave digging. Like he just really liked being in school.
He's passionate about it. He likes digging the holes.
He wrote a dissertation on how deep to dig.
Yeah. You know, 6 feet is kind of a myth.
It's more of like a rough guideline than... Joey, please stop talking about your dissertation. He's always bringing it up. It's such a bummer.
I have an Alan update. I figured I would start with the good news.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
It seems like
he's doing really well. He got his staples out on Tuesday and he's just like back to normal. He's just Alan again. It's so great.
Aww.
He is.
That was quick.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, it was 2 weeks basically of being in the cone. We got him these
2 weeks in the cone.
2 weeks in the cone. I got him these like surgical suits so that we could take the cone off, where it's like it covers every part of his body except for, you know, like that.
Except his wiener, yes.
Yeah,
I remember this.
Yeah, you cut a little hole for his wiener. And he just figured out how to like wriggle out of it because his like little legs are so short. and so he could just like pull them through the holes and then just like scoot it down his body. So then we had to put the cone back on him. He got the staples out. He got the cone off. He's doing so good. He's pretty much back to normal. And he is so happy to be able to lick his penis again.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he would have missed that.
That's like the reunion of a lifetime.
It was nice to see video of him like trotting down the street sniffing stuff. He looked so happy.
Yeah. And I wish he had more of an understanding of like how much to appreciate things, because I don't feel like he's he is excited about everything. Like for the first couple days, like he didn't even fight putting his harness on for his walk, but now he's just back to being like, no, I won't wear it. And I have to trick him into putting it on every day again. So I think he was like appreciative for like a day, and now he's just back to being totally accustomed to his life as it used to be.
Yeah, dogs have a delightful ability to not like dwell in the past, I think.
Yeah. Every so often he gets this look in his eye and I'm like, are you remembering?
He's remembering the peach pit he ate or whatever the hell. Savoring. It was so tasty. Yeah. Was it worth it?
I'm now like definitely more stressed out on our walks, like trying to keep him from eating stuff because he's so determined. It's really
hard. Oh my
God.
The other day I was like, I was sitting on the toilet peeing and Annie came in just like chomping on something. And I had to reach my entire fist like down her throat to figure out what it was and pull it out. Oh, and it was like this dried up like leaf or something. I don't know.
Oh, man. It's so frustrating. Like I keep reaching into his mouth and pulling shit out and he like tries to bite me. He's so mad that he doesn't get to eat whatever he wants.
And he just takes it. She just lets me put my whole fist down her throat. She just stands there like.
Annie's such a good dog.
I think she likes the attention.
Annie is a better behaved dog than Alan for sure.
Annie is like a robot. Like if you could make like a robot dog for people to have, I think Annie would be. Like she doesn't do many bad things. She growls at me when she wants me to do something. But I think that's cute. She's like, it's time for breakfast. Well, I'm happy that Alan recovered so quickly from his surgery. That gives me hope because I found out I have to get surgery and I'm scared.
Oh my goodness. Are you going to have to wear a cone?
Yes, I have to wear a bodysuit that covers everything except my vagina. and my butthole.
You wear that anyway.
That is my preferred outfit. I think they're going to be trendy for 2021.
Lisa keeps cutting vagina holes in all her clothes.
And they're tie-dye. I met with a specialist who works on minimally invasive gynecological procedures, and they think that I may have endometriosis. So I have to get a laparoscopic excision because that's the only way to truly diagnose it. You can't find it with any imaging, ultrasounds, or whatever. You may be able to find it on there, but you can't rule it out. So it was just nice to talk to a doctor who actually knew what the fuck I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's been years of talking to my primary care physician and my gyno, and both of them just being like, I don't know. I've never heard it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I do feel like, too, like with the stories that I hear about endometriosis, like people usually come to that diagnosis after years of not being able to figure out what's going on with them. And it's like...
Yeah. And I kind of hit a wall with both like pelvic physical therapy and with nutritionist. And I feel so fucking lucky that I can actually see these people and like get a diagnosis, perhaps, you know, there's like a light at the end of the tunnel. It's and that I'm close to a hospital where there's actually like a center that focuses on this kind of thing and on the surgeries. I'm so fucking lucky.
Yeah. Like,
there are so many women who are and trans men and non-binary people who are suffering from these symptoms, and they just can't get anyone to take them seriously. It's such a huge issue. So that's why I'm talking about it, even though it's like a pretty private thing. But yeah, it's just so.
Yeah, you're usually very. You've got sort of like the queen's demeanor in terms of how what you usually talk about. You're extremely proper.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
no,
I
mean, this is private. I appreciate you sharing about it because it is like you don't have to. And
yeah,
I think it's like interesting and helpful to hear about for sure.
And I don't share that much publicly about how I feel. Maybe I do. I don't know. It feels bad. I feel uncomfortable and in pain all the time.
Well, and I know that like you've been trying a lot of stuff to feel better for a long time.
Yeah. And I just thought, oh, maybe I'm just whiny. I don't know. But I'm like, it feels like someone's like stepping on my lower body at all times. That doesn't seem normal.
Yeah.
It's really awful. So I'm hoping to get some answers. And by the way, I'm already in the like big Facebook group about it, the Reddit and stuff. So I don't need any more info.
You don't need resources. Yeah.
I don't. Like a lot of people tend to reach out and be like, you need help. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I have the info, but I just wanted to share in case anyone else is struggling from a similar issue.
Yeah.
It can be rough.
So when is your surgery taking place?
I don't know. It has to be scheduled. And I assume it'll take a while because it took months to even get a consultation. So.
Oh, man.
But maybe I'll have the vaccine by then. That'll be good.
That'll be great. I really hope that it you get the answers that you need and then you can start feeling better. Do you know like what, like if they find out that you do have endometriosis, like what would be the next step after that?
Well, they go in like through your belly button and then this guy is a surgeon. So if he finds it, he just cuts it out. And then hopefully that's the end of it.
What?
But it does, okay, it tends to grow back. So
what is endometriosis?
It is so it's when the like uterine tissue grows outside of the uterus.
Oh.
So in rough terms, I'm not a doctor, but it can grow on your bowel. It can like stick your ovary to the side of your pelvis. Like it can grow on your bladder and like so if you're having issues down there, it can just fuck everything up. And it's not a cancer, but it kind of
it's similar.
It grows.
It's like cells that shouldn't be growing that are growing.
Yeah, and it comes back the way cancer does, and it's concurrent with a lot of issues like IBS and SIBO and like pelvic floor dysfunction, and you know a lot of different issues kind of tend to crop up with it. So
wow, mm-hmm. That would really answer a lot of questions.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. I don't know. I'm excited and scared, but
yeah,
just hoping for.
I hope you feel better.
Thanks.
Yeah. But surgery is scary for sure.
Yeah,
no
it is.
What.
They cut you open.
Yeah.
I've only had one surgery before, and it was to get my wisdom teeth out, and I woke up in the middle screaming, so not the best.
What?
Not the best experience.
You woke up in the middle screaming. I've never heard about that happening. Why did that happen?
I don't know. In my memory, I just really wanted a glass of water. And I asked for one politely and they said no. And I asked again. But what really happened is I just woke up yelling and flailing and they weren't done with the surgery. I was, you know, mid-surgery. So they had to like finish. And then my mom like heard me from the waiting room and was like pounding on the door to get in because she thought I was dying. And
it was
really dramatic. And they were all like, they like thought we were going to sue them or something.
That's wild.
Aside from that, everything went great.
I think, yeah, I've only ever had oral surgery before. I don't think I've ever had any other kind of surgery. I feel like I would remember that right away, wouldn't I?
I know. It's just, I feel very lucky that I've lived this long without having to get anything else operated on.
Yeah. I've never had like a broken bone.
Me neither. I had a big splinter go through one side of my toe and come out the other once.
Ooh, yeah, that's not fun. I've had to have work done on ingrown toenails.
It's like a minor surgery.
Yeah.
Did you do the work yourself?
No, I went to like a foot place and they, you know, cut into it and did a whole thing. And then I had like a big like cartoon bandage on my toe, like when Bugs Bunny gets injured and then just like magically has a big bandage on. I sprained my ankle.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. Yeah. I sprained my ankle twice in 1 month on our trampoline, and then my parents got rid of the trampoline. I was like, no, but they were like, you keep hurting yourself.
You were like, this is how I want to die.
I did. We loved our trampoline so much. We would bring our blankets and pillows out there and sleep on it.
Oh my God. I mean, trampolines are the fucking best, but they're also
the fucking best.
Complete death traps.
I know. They are.
Oh man. Well, what else is going on?
We got an email about the big things in Australia, just really briefly.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to read this one part because it was about my favorite big thing, which was that big kind of ghostly owl. And this person wrote, the owl is known amongst local residents as the penis owl because of its close resemblance to a flaccid penis. I'm pretty sure the reason it cost so much money was that they had to get the artist to come back and repair it after it was vandalized. It's something of a local meme. and they linked to an article on ABC calling it the penis owl.
Can I just say, I feel really disappointed in us that we were like, it looks like a ghost. And neither of us were like, that's a penis. When we like report on this, like, are we slipping? What's going on with us?
Well, it's just really spooky looking. And I don't remember ever seeing a spooky penis.
You've never fucked Tim Burton?
No. What does his penis look like? Does it look like...
He's just got like a... Rob is making a spirally
thing. I don't know what that means.
I know exactly what that means. He's talking about that hill in Nightmare Before Christmas that's a spiral that uncurls when it's time for Jack Skellington to walk across it.
This is my penis, my penis, my penis.
What's this? What's this? A penis that uncurls. What's this? I stick it in the girls.
Oh, well, that's it for today. I have to go lie down.
Oh, boy. thank you so much for informing us about the penis owl. I was like, I've been thinking, I was like, what has been going on with me in the last 2 weeks? And I'm like, I've just been watching Love Island nonstop for the last 2 weeks. That's all that's been going on since the last time we recorded.
I don't want to watch it, but I do enjoy the clips you post on Instagram.
There's one guy. So I've been watching, I watched Love Island UK season 6 and Love Island UK. And I'm currently watching Love Island UK season 5. And this is after I've watched, I think, 3 seasons of the, I think I've watched all the Australia seasons. I just got to say, like, season 5 of Love Island UK is the best season I've seen so far, and I'm not even done with it yet.
So you could start there. You don't have to see the preview.
But also, it's like, I wonder if you started there, then you wouldn't enjoy the rest of them as much because it's would set the bar too high. But it is so fucking good. And there's one guy on it who keeps saying, are you having a laugh?
Are you having a laugh?
You having a laugh? Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway,
does he say that? Like, does he think people are making fun of him, or is he?
He's saying it like he said it when like his girlfriend was like, "I'm worried you're gonna like meet someone you like better than me," and he was like, "Are you having a laugh?
Oh,
you're the best." You know, like to be like,
"Oh,
he says it like, are you fucking kidding me?" Yeah. He's not even saying, like, are you making fun of me? He's saying, like, are you joking, you know?
That's kind of charming. I like that.
Yeah.
Having a laugh.
His name is Tommy Fury, and he's a professional boxer.
Tommy Fury. Yeah. That's a great name.
There's a lot of, like, real chaotic energy in the season that I'm watching, and they keep, like, changing the rules to keep people that they want around who they know are going to make drama, and I just love it. They're just totally making it up as they go along, and it's just blatant. It's great.
Sounds good.
But it also means that there's just nothing going on in my actual life.
Yeah, I started watching The Good Wife, which I don't have a ton to say about it, but it's just, it's like great if you just want to watch a show that just like lulls you. You
it
know, it's
is
like
such a good show.
It is good, right?
I love it's so much better than it needs to be.
It's quite good. It's like a great law procedural. It's nothing like any show I would ever make, which is nice because I don't have to think about work when I watch it. And Adam's gotten really into it too. He's like, yeah, this show, I just like, I could watch it forever. Like, so we've just been watching it.
More like The Great Wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we say like 20 times per episode, ooh, she's being a good wife.
Yeah. I'm so excited you're watching The Good Wife. I think that's an excellent show. And I also think she's really good in it. The other actors are really good in it. But also in terms of like a ripped from the headline show, I think it's more skillful than like any Law and Order for sure.
Yeah, it feels just like slightly more nuanced than you'd expect for like a network kind of procedural.
Like, yeah, it's like a little bit, it's like really riding the border between like network procedural and prestige in a good way.
Yeah,
it's just like elevated, you know,
slightly elevated, but and like not too exciting. Like it's very calm. Yeah. The show, and then like they have fun, like guest actors play the judges and stuff. It's just like,
yeah. Have you gotten to any of the Alan Cummings episodes yet?
No,
he has a huge role, and he's
oh my god,
so
I love
good.
Him. I love Alan Cumming.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, it's a good show.
All right, I'll stick with it.
Is that an endorse horse?
I had another endorse horse in mind.
Okay. Do you want to do that now?
Sure.
Okay. Let's endorse horse something.
Baby geniuses endorse, letting nature take its course. Endorphins pump from the source when they hop up on that horse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Endorsing services and items, no remorse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Riding off into the sunset, now here's something we endorse.
Yeehaw! Here it comes! Ride the endorse horse. So mine, this is one. The writing of P.E. Moskowitz. This is a writer who I really like. They wrote How to Kill a City, which is a book about gentrification. And then they more recently wrote a book called The Case Against Free Speech, which is about how the First Amendment has kind of been used to protect powerful fascists. And also it's used by the right to push their agenda. It's just a really interesting book. And these are kind of like topics that might be like a little bit dry, but they just write about them in a really accessible, interesting way. And you don't have to know like the history or the jargon. The way they write just explains everything so clearly
that
it's easy to follow. Yeah. And they have a newsletter too called Mental Health. And it's about things like how the treatment of mental illness is affected by capitalism, the diagnosis of ADHD, disability justice, just like really, really interesting stuff written about in like a interesting way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm a big fan and have been for a while.
Great. I have an endorse horse. It is Love Island UK season 5.
Yes.
I also just read a book that I like called Severance by Ling Ma.
Oh, that book is great.
Yeah. That it's like so interesting to think about the fact that it was written before coronavirus.
You know what's really interesting about that book is that she worked at a printing company that printed Drawn and Quarterly's books.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was reading it, I was like, huh, she knows a lot about the printing industry.
Yeah, the main character is someone who works at like a printing company.
Yeah. And this is really specific. And so I mentioned it to an editor at Drawn and Quarterly and they were like, yeah, fun fact. So, and it's crazy how similar it is to the coronavirus. Like,
yeah, it's about a pandemic that sort of like, it's like about that like moment right before and right after like a pandemic kind of like levels civilization. And it's fascinating and it's well written and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I love that book.
It was really fast. Yeah, you'd think I wouldn't want to hear about that right now, but it's kind of nice to like be like, oh yeah, our pandemic isn't doing this to us.
Yeah, ours wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
for a moment I was frightened. It's interesting. I've gone back and like read some diary entries from literally a year ago, and it's just, I don't know, it's just weird to like read about the onset of all of this.
Have you been keeping a diary throughout?
Yeah, I have a diary I write in every single night, basically.
Lisa, I'm so jealous.
Well, Adam does it. He has a diary that's like a 5-year diary. So each day he can see what he wrote exactly a year ago and then add like a little comment to it. I think it's called the Hobonichi Techo. It's like a Japanese kind of diary company.
Yeah.
And so he got me one that's just a year. So yeah, I try every night. Sometimes I'm too lazy, but I think it's a nice practice. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but it's fun to reread them sometimes.
I just feel like I lose so much by not writing those things down, but I have a hard time sitting down and writing a diary.
Yeah, it's boring. And every time I have to do it, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. And writing for an audience is a lot easier for me for some reason, because I'm just trying to like picture what they want to hear about. But
yeah. It's nice to try to think of anything special that happened each day, especially during this year where every day felt the goddamn same.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you right now, I did not finish my embroidering every day thing. It's just, I'm off. I'm just not doing it.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I feel like
I need to put it in a drawer because it's taunting me.
Yeah. You should only do things like that if it's feeling good in the moment. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Ugh, you're allowed to quit.
I know. I just want more of a record of things, because I feel like sometimes I'll talk to people who I've known for a long time and they'll mention something that happened that I completely forget, but I'm delighted to hear about it. And it's not, and I'm like, I wish I remembered that.
Yeah.
You know? And also then when I'm like trying to write too, I'm like, what happens in people's lives?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I forget like everything. Like my mind feels like a pasta strainer, like it just like, but it's not catching any pasta. Just like, so it's more
like way too big for the pasta that's going through.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly. So I guess, yeah, I like the diary for that reason, because I'll flip back and I'll be like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. And sometimes it's just something silly, like I don't know, like I was reading back and it was like, oh, I wrote like, oh, I don't like to wear my mouth guard at night. And I think if I concentrate really hard, then I can just relax my jaw. And I pretend like I'm holding a baby chick in my mouth. And if I grind my teeth, I'll crush the chick. And I'm like, that's funny.
That is funny.
Doesn't work. I still grind my teeth.
What do you, oh wait, I'm going to save that for one on fun. I just thought of a good question.
Oh shit.
Should we do Chunch Chat?
Yes.
It's time for Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch. Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch,
fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch. Chunch. All right. I want to address something that I briefly rushed past last episode, but then I got like way too distracted by all the geese, and swans and shit, so I just didn't talk about it enough. The whole Martha's cat in the Molcajete thing. So a molcajete, it's like a huge mortar and pestle for making guacamole. And Martha recently did an ad for kitty litter and she showed her cat just like sitting in the molcajete. And so many people sent it to me and were like upset about it.
What were they upset about?
They just thought like, is she going to grind her cat into guacamole? And they just thought it was really funny that the cat was sitting in this like device for grinding up food. But she did it so casually, I was like, there's no way this is the first time. So I Googled Martha Stewart cat Mulcahete, and I found pics from as far back as 2010 of Empress Tang sitting in that thing. And there's just like lots of photo evidence. There was like a whole blog entry about giving her cats a bath, and while she's prepping the bath, the cat sitting in the Mulcahete. So it's just
the cat has just taken over the guacamole bowl.
Yeah, that's its throne. That's kind of the most I want to talk about royalty.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the Meghan Markle thing.
You don't have anything to say about
it? Here's what I have to say about it. Number one, okay. I thought it would have been helpful for Prince Harry to address the fact that he dressed up like a Nazi. Because I don't think it's inconsistent with what he was saying in the interview, which he was saying, like, I come from a racist family and I had a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he didn't address that, I think he was trying to maybe avoid, like, discrediting himself, but I actually...
It's not like any of us forgot.
Yeah, but I also think that that doesn't discredit what he's saying. If anything, it affirms what he's saying, which is like, yeah, like, this is where I come from. Like,
it's also a nice lesson, like, someone can be born in that background and be quite racist and then learn and grow.
Yes, that's... exactly what we need to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to address, which is like, I didn't watch the interview the day of. And so like I missed a lot of like, so like by the time I watched it, I had heard all the big headlines. The only thing that felt new when I watched it was Meghan Markle just casually mentioning that she worked at a place called Humphrey Yogurt, as if that's a national chain. She just blew right past it like it was, you know, like a fucking TGI Fridays.
Humphrey Yogurt?
Yeah. And I guess I had seen people tweeting about it, but I didn't make the connection. I just, like, I saw Noah Garfinkel tweet about it, and I was like, oh, well, that's a thing that Noah Garfinkel would tweet about any day of the week. So I didn't, like, look at it twice. And then she was just like, you know, I'm just like, I'm not royalty. Like, I'm a normal person. Like I worked at Humphrey Yogurt. I, you know, like, well, and it's just, and that was it. There was no like stopping to address Humphrey Yogurt. So that's it. That's all I have to say about that interview.
This is all breaking news to me. So I haven't
beep,
seen
beep,
it
beep,
yet.
Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Meghan Markle used to work for
Humphrey Yogurt.
Humphrey Yogurt. I wish that place had existed back in the days when Humphrey Bogart was a big star.
Their tagline is, here's looking at goo. Because it's yogurt's a kind of goo.
Works for me. Rob's shaking his head, but I liked it.
Yeah. I've had so much time to think of something better than that, and I haven't. Does that conclude Chunch Chat?
Yes.
That concludes Chunch Chat. We'll be right back with One on Fun.
Guys, I'm so excited about this sponsor. Baby Geniuses is supported in part by Libby.
Oh, I love Libby.
We love Libby so much. I use it every day.
I used it to read the book that I recommended on this week's Endorse Horse.
Same.
Libby's a free reading app created by Overdrive that lets you borrow ebooks and audiobooks from your library on your phone, tablet, Kindle, or computer. All you need is a valid library card from your library.
Even if you don't have a library card currently, you can read samples of any book you see.
Libby works just like your physical library. You simply borrow available books you want to read, and then they return themselves automatically after your loan expires. So in some ways, it's better than the... you don't have to remember to return them.
It's so great and easy. You can put books on hold if they're really popular and there's like a line of people, and then you can wait until they're available. You can put them on hold and then get them when you want them. You can browse titles that are available right away. If you just don't know what to read next, you can see what they have.
Yeah.
They have magazines, like they have erotica, like they just have like anything you could imagine.
It's so great.
I love Libby.
It's so great. Download Libby in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store to start borrowing and sampling ebooks and audiobooks today.
For free.
For free. Ah, what a deal. Baby Geniuses is brought to you this week by Dipsy, I'm going to read you an email we got from one of our listeners about Dipsy. The subject line is thank you. And the body of the email says, thank you for introducing me to Dipsy. Holy shit, this changes my masturbation game. Off to have some more orgasms. Thanks.
I love that.
I love that. I love any email that ends with the sign off to have more orgasms. Thanks. More people need to end their emails that way, but especially when it's something we've introduced them to. I'm so happy to hear that Dipsy is working out for them.
Yeah, Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on, help give you more of those orgasms. And each Dipsy story features characters that feel like real people, immersive scenarios so you feel like you're right there. And Dipsy also has wellness sessions to help you learn more about yourself, and bedtime stories and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off.
And for listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/geniuses. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/geniuses. Just because you're grown up doesn't mean you've outgrown bedtime stories. Whether you want a story to turn you on or wind you down for better sleep, Dipsy helps you get in touch with yourself for some extra sweet dreams. dipseastories.com/geniuses for your 30-day free trial. Give it a shot.
Hey folks, it's me, James Arthur M., host of Minority Corner, your home through these wild times for weekly doses of pop culture, history, news, nerdy stuff, and more through a BIPOC, queer, and allied lens. That's how you get Joel Schumacher putting nipples on Batman.
Yeah.
I didn't ask, I say this as a gay man, didn't ask for it. I don't need to see Batman's nipples on his suit. Who is this for?
I did a bunch of research. I wanted to just know about the history of Black people in Argentina. So, not only did they erase Black people from their history, they also started to flip and use it as slurs.
We're not done. Like, we're not done with the work that needs to be done. And so stay awake. So join me and some of your new BFFs every Friday here on Maximum Fun to stay informed, empowered, and have some fun. Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
Emily.
Yes.
Is there like a stupid store name such as Humphrey Yogurt in LA that really tickles you?
The first name that comes to mind is Cougart, which is not a yogurt place, but rather, I think it's like Mediterranean food.
I think the name really hurt them.
Yeah. Is it like, what did it mean? This is what I want to know.
Didn't that place close?
I think it did close.
And I think the name was a problem.
Yeah. It permanently closed. It closed.
Yeah, because it did kind of sound like a yogurt, like a Froyo place, but then Cougar, yeah, it just wasn't.
Yeah.
Not a great name. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, man. And it got replaced with an even weirder named thing called, the name Cougart was a combination of the owner's names, Curtis and Gertrude.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no, that's not what it was. That was just a suggestion from Twitter. I'm sorry, I'm scanning right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
But
Gertrude.
But the place that replaced it is called Hot Chicos.
Yeah, Adam's eaten there.
Yeah. How is it?
I like that name. Right. I think he said it was fine. not outstanding.
Yeah. All right, Lisa.
There's a place kind of close to me called Crispy Brows, and I just think about it a lot because it's like a brow threading place.
Oh, it's a brow bar.
Something about the word crispy makes me hungry.
Yeah, it's a word that you use for food. That's what makes you hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, Lisa, when you are having trouble falling asleep, is there a thing that you think about that you like? Is there like a scenario that you think about that makes you want to go to sleep?
I just think over and over again, oh my God, I'm so tired. Oh, I can barely keep my eyes open. I'm so sleepy. And then I feel about how heavy my eyes are, and I like try to relax every part of my body one by one. But sometimes it doesn't work because I have like restless legs or something. And then I just have to like eat a banana, and then that'll help me sleep. Sometimes I think about
what?
Horses.
A banana what? Helps you?
Yeah, just like a banana something, but it's usually a banana or a glass of almond milk is like my go-to to make me sleep.
Interesting.
is that crazy?
I don't know. I guess that's just like the thought has never crossed my mind to eat something in order to go to sleep.
You know, I think it's because when I get like kicky, restless legs, I think there's something about bananas that helps that. Is it maybe it's the potassium? I'm not even kidding. I think. Am I nuts?
I have no idea.
We're getting into my weird little like home remedies that make no sense. You're going to get a million emails.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what emails we get about this.
Hopefully none.
I try to picture like that I like times when I've been like really jet lagged. Where, like, I've been traveling for, like, 24 hours, and I finally get home and get into bed.
That's kind of similar to my method.
Is it?
A little bit. Yeah, it's like the, oh, my God, I'm so tired, and nothing could be better than this bed right now.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I feel like it's, like, feeling gratitude for being asleep, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Cultivating gratitude for the
And then
sleep.
I'm just, like, I just imagine I've just eaten a banana. Oh, wait, I guess it is pretty normal.
And then sometimes I just think about like horses, you know.
Yeah, you count you horses. Know,
my go-to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Does that conclude One on Fun?
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week.
Speaking of sleep, the other day I had a dream. Do you ever have like a phrase repeat in your head like during a dream?
Yeah, sometimes.
This was the worst. Like, I had the phrase, we need to talk about Kevin, kept repeating in my head.
Not just a phrase, a movie title.
I know, but it's like, and all my dreams revolved around this phrase. Like, people kept coming up to me and saying, we need to talk about Kevin. And it's like the name of this Tilda Swinton movie I've never seen. But I think my brain was like trying to intervene with the whole Costner thing. Lisa, we need to
like
talk
your,
about.
Your brain was like, you need to stop watching Kevin Costner movies.
Yeah, I think maybe.
Oh, yeah, because his name is Kevin.
Right?
Wow.
My unconscious was like, we need to chat about this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been having like the most boring fucking dreams lately of just like, oh, like emptying the dishwasher or just like
telling
Peter we need a new Brita filter. Like,
that just fucking sucks.
Really fucking shitty. Although the other night I did have a dream, very vivid dream, that we successfully recalled Kyrsten Sinema.
Wait, what?
That like we recalled Kyrsten Sinema.
Who's Kyrsten Sinema?
Oh my goodness, Lisa. She is that like quote unquote moderate Democratic senator from Arizona who like is one of the her and Joe Manchin are the ones standing in the way of like the Democrats getting anything good done. They like she's the one.
How do I know about Joe Manchin and I don't know about Kyrsten Sinema?
I don't know because people have been taught maybe it's because her name is spelled with an S and not a C that you're, maybe you've seen
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you weren't maybe picturing, but yeah, she's the one who, when they were voting on whether to include a $15 minimum wage in the relief package, she like did a like sassy little thumbs down in like a really shitty way. And then people were like, it's misogynistic to give her shit about that. And it's like,
exactly.
No, she's being a fucking piece of shit. Like,
Yes, I do know about her. And I remember that. And I was like, do not fucking co-opt like the language about feminism and women's body behavior to support your fucking stupid shit.
No. Yeah. This is legislation that would disproportionately affect women who make up like a very large part of the workforce that yeah. makes minimum wage. And like,
yeah, that was disgusting.
The feminization of poverty is a much more important issue to women than whether or not we're mean to Kyrsten Sinema for voting against what's good for people.
And for treating it flippantly, too.
Treating it flippantly. Yeah. She basically made a fart noise with her tongue when she did it. Like, that's what it looks like in the video. No, yeah, she doesn't deserve respect.
To live.
She deserves to be recalled. And it was like the first truly happy dream I've had since the pandemic started.
That's a wonderful dream. I wish it was real.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now that we're fully like, a full like almost 2 months into the Joe Biden administration, I'm back to being like thoroughly disgusted by so many Democrats.
They suck.
I've gotten over like, it's not that I wasn't like approaching them critically before. It's just like, the momentum of the election, it was so important to get them elected. And I still believe, I'm not like, oh, wow, what a waste. It's like, no, things would be so, so, so much worse if we hadn't done as well as we did in the election. But I'm like,
oh, yeah, this is better than Trump. Absolutely.
Fuck Cuomo. Fuck Gavin Newsom. Fuck a lot of shit that Biden has done so far. Fuck Kyrsten Sinema. Fuck Joe Manchin. Like, I want so many of these motherfuckers replaced and primaried. Fuck Dianne Feinstein. Like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm fucking over it. Like, govern like you won.
Yeah.
Anyway, this week's Wikipedia page.
I agree. Oh, I love when you get all fired up.
This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Diane Capps. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
It is the Wikipedia page for Billiken. Billiken. I like, just so you know, at the top of the page it says, for the Argentine children's magazine, see Billiken magazine. So that we're not talking about the magazine.
The Billiken is a charm doll created by an American art teacher and illustrator, Florence Pretz of Kansas City, Missouri, who is said to have seen the mysterious figure in a dream. Ooh. Okay, I'm already on board. I fucking love
this. Apropos of what we were just talking about. Yeah.
I love it. It is believed that Pretz found the name Billiken in Bliss Carman's 1896 poem, Mr. Moon, A Song of the Little People.
Wow.
In 1908, she obtained a design patent on the ornamental design of the Billiken, which she sold to the Billiken Company of Chicago.
Wait, what?
Was that an existing
company? Already company? Existed?
I don't.
Oh, this is confusing. Okay.
This is weird. The Billiken was monkey-like with pointed ears, a mischievous smile, and a tuft of hair on his pointed head. His arms were short, and he was generally sitting with his legs stretched out in front of him. Billiken is known as the god of things as they ought to be.
I know we very often say you have to look up the picture of this, but it's going to really help you understand this.
This thing has like a Grinch smile.
Yeah, it's a very funny little posture, and it's just a very funny little, everything about it's just like ridiculous. To buy a Billiken was said to give the purchaser luck, but to receive one as a gift would be better luck. The image was copyrighted and a trademark was put on the name. After a few years of popularity, the Billiken faded into obscurity. Although they are similar, the Billiken and the baby-like Kewpie figures that debuted in December 1909 Ladies Home Journal are not the same. Today, the Billiken is the official mascot of St. Louis University and St. Louis University High School, both Jesuit institutions located in St. Louis. The Billiken is also the official mascot of the Royal Order of Jesters, an invitation-only Shriner group affiliated with Freemasonry. I am going to talk to my cousin, who is a Shriner, and ask him about this.
Oh, my God.
The Billiken also became, because he does, like, clowning in hospitals, like, as part of his, like, being a Shriner. And I'm curious if he knows about the Billiken.
Like a clowning frat?
This is so weird. They're masons, and then it's like one of their, like, you know, philanthropy things. Okay. The Billiken also became the namesake of Billiken Shokai, the Japanese toy and model manufacturing company established in 1976. There's a great, like, scan of the St. Louis Postage Pass Patch newspaper. It has like an illustration of Florence Pretz and the drawing. It's like a drawing of her and of the Billiken.
And she has great hair.
Yeah.
History. The Billiken sprang from the height of the mind cure craze in the United States at the start of the 20th century. What is that? Oh, it's a new thought movement, a spiritual movement which coalesced in the U.S. Well, weird. Okay. It represented the no-worry ideal and was a huge hit. Variations appeared, such as the Teddy Billiken doll and the Billikan-Billikant pair, to drive petty problems away. The Billiken helped touch off the doll craze of the era. At least two Billiken-themed songs were recorded, including Billiken Rag and the Billiken Man song. The later was recorded by Blanche Ring. The Billiken as a good luck charm appears multiple times in the Vivien Leigh and Robert Taylor movie Waterloo Bridge. It is employed as a device that both prompts recollections of the male lead, Robert Taylor, and that links several scenes within the movie as the plot unfolds. Wizard of Oz author L. Frank Baum kept a Billiken doll on his piano.
Wow.
The Billiken made its Japanese debut in 1908. A statue was installed in the uppermost level of the original Sutenkaku Tower as it was opened to the public in 1912. When the nearby Luna Park was closed in 1925, the tower's Billiken statue disappeared. In 1980, a replacement made its appearance in a new Tsutenkaku Tower that was built in 1956.
Wow. The mind cure craze, I'm very curious about.
I'm very curious
the
about
no
that.
The no-worry ideal. It's just, wow. I want to listen to also the Billiken Rag at some point.
Billiken Rag.
That's the Billiken Rag. Sports mascot. In its heyday, the Billiken enjoyed worldwide celebrity.
Actually goes Hakuna Matata or whatever. Means no worries, right?
Hakuna Matata?
Hakuna Matata, that's what I meant.
I wasn't sure if you were trying to parody it, and I was like, wait, is Makana part of this? Anyway, I went on a journey there in my own mind.
Me too. I call it my mind craze.
It's just blowing my mind how little it took to become famous. At the time, I'm just like, oh yeah, I guess I make a doll with his arms at his sides and that's it. Okay.
Okay.
In its heyday, the Billiken enjoyed worldwide celebrity. In the United States, he became the athletic mascot of St. Louis University because the figure was said to resemble Coach John R. Bender.
That's mean.
The school's athletic teams remain the Billikens to this day. A bronze statue of the Billiken stands in front of the Heifetz Arena on the St. Louis University campus. A junior version of the Billiken became the mascot of nearby St. Louis University High School. A stainless steel statue of the junior Billiken stands adjacent to the Danis Fieldhouse on the St. Louis University High School campus. Bud Billiken was a youth club mascot for the Chicago Defender and was created in 1923 and is known more contemporarily as the inspiration for the yearly parade of the same name held shortly before the start of the school year. So it's the Billiken Parade or the Bud Billiken Parade? I've never heard of this. Okay.
I know many parades and I've never heard of this one.
The Billiken was the team nickname for several minor league professional baseball teams, including the Fort Wayne Billikens of the 1908 to 1910 Central League, the Montgomery Billikens of the 1910 Southern Association, a Class A league that ran from 1902 to 1935, the Bay City Billikens of the 1911 and 1912 Southern Michigan League, and the McLeansboro Billikens of the 1910 Kentucky, Illinois, Tennessee League, the Kitty League. Ooh.
I like that one because it's called Kitty.
Yeah. Meow, meow. A Class D.
That's what my brain goes when we're talking about sports leagues. Meow, meow, meow.
It was a Class D professional baseball league that ran from 1903 to 1955. McLeansboro is located in southern Illinois, 116 miles from St. Louis, so they're very connected. I mean, here's a suggestion. All of the racist sports teams should change their name to the Billikens.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not? Or literally anything else. Just so easy to change. Alaska. In 1909, the Billiken began its appearance in souvenir shops of Alaska. In Nome, Alaska, an Eskimo carver by the name Engo Watsuk I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, a copied Abilican figurine in ivory brought to him by a merchant. Since that first appearance in Alaska, some Eskimo carvers began to include the Billiken in the collection of figurines they created. That's so interesting, because this like figure was like made up by some white lady.
She had
in,
a dream.
Kansas City, and now like actual indigenous artists are carving it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool and weird.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that indigenous culture is not fixed in some historical time. It's living. It changes. It incorporates little troll men from our dreams.
They can react to current culture.
Yeah.
By the 1960s, the Billiken was ubiquitous in larger Alaskan cities like Anchorage and heavily touristed areas.
Wait, can I stop for a second and just say this should – someone should edit this page to change the word Eskimo to Inuit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry we just blew past that. Let's not.
Yeah. Let's not breeze past that. Good catch, Emily.
Thank you.
I don't remember seeing any of these in Juneau, but maybe I did because I went to a lot of tourist shops there, souvenir shops. Maybe I saw them and was just like, nope.
Yeah, maybe you
doesn't appeal to me.
It didn't cross your mind to be like, oh, yes, a Billiken figure.
Yeah, I just thought weird troll baby. I don't really like baby figures, so probably just ignored. Billikens were often carved from Alaskan ivory and were used in jewelry and knickknacks. Often these souvenirs were accompanied by printed, romanticized Billiken lore. In Anchorage, the name was also adopted by merchants, as in the Billiken Drive-In movie theater.
Fascinating.
Cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Japan. Throughout Japan, representations of the Billiken were enshrined. Pre-World War II statues of the Billiken could be found in Kobe City's Chinju Inari and Matsuo Inari shrines. Both of these statues were removed from display for many years at the onset of the war when foreign deities fell out of favor. I should say this section does not cite any sources. The most famous representation of the Billiken was in an amusement park, Luna Park, in the Shinsekai district of Osaka, Japan. In 1912, he was enshrined in the park as a symbol of Americana and there was revered as the god of things as they ought to be. Popular Billiken souvenirs in the park included dolls and manju. When the park closed in 1923, the wooden statue of the Billiken went missing. A replica of the statue was placed in the second generation Sutenkaku Tower in 1980. The Billiken was a star in Sakamoto Junji's 1996 comedy Billiken, in which the statue was restored to the Sutenkaku in an effort to revive the popularity of the tower and save Shinsekai.
Wow. This thing has legs.
Yeah, and they're pointed and straight at me.
Yeah. The statue was a permanent fixture in the tower until September 2005, when it made its first departure and was taken as an ambassador of sorts to Shibuya's Tokyo Hands department store in Tokyo as a part of a fair to promote Naniwa.
Can I just say, fucking culture. Tokyo Hands is so awesome.
It's good.
You went there when you were in...
Yeah.
We went there when we were in Japan, and it's just...
What'd you like about it?
It's huge, and they just have such cool stuff, and every floor is... And they just got, like, really cool, like, stationery, and just... It's a huge store with just unbelievable stuff in it. I don't know.
Japan does the best department stores, and I love department stores. I don't know why. There's something really nostalgic about them, and I feel like they're dying out, you know, in America. But there's just something very, like, elegant about them.
Yeah. I think also, like... In Japan in general, I felt like everything seems like more designy and like elegant. When you walk through a 7-Eleven in America and it's just like, oh yeah, this looks like trash, like even when it's perfectly clean. But like in Japan,
I love
it's
going
like
into
everything
7-Eleven
is beautiful.
In Japan.
Everything is beautiful.
Well, and all the products are designed so nicely. Like, oh my God, I love doing that when I travel anywhere, actually, is going to like a drugstore and just browsing like the products. And
anyway,
I miss traveling.
I want to go to Tokyo Hands right now. Anyway, sorry.
I want to go so bad. Let's go there when COVID is over. God, maybe someday. As part of the cultural exchange, a replica of the Billiken statue of Shibuya, a replica of the statue of Shibuya's most famous dog, Hachiko, was sent to Osaka along with the Billiken. In October 2008, the Billiken of Tsutsinkaku took a journey, this thing travels more than I do, all the way from Japan to its home city of St. Louis, Missouri, where it was visited by students of St. Louis University, whose mascot is also the Billiken.
I like that pronunciation of mascot.
Mascot?
Hell yeah.
Reading out loud is hard.
Due to wear, particularly to the soles of the feet, the dark worn statue replica from 1980 was replaced in May 2012 with a new one. Presently, he resides on the fifth floor observation deck and has become closely associated with the tower. Each year, thousands of visitors place a coin in his donation box and rub the soles of his well-worn feet to make their wishes come true.
The fact that the feet are all like dirty and well-worn makes me think the statue comes alive at night and like walks around. Just a thought.
I don't think that the feet get dirty. I think they probably get like really smooth.
Yeah.
So much touching. Yeah.
So much touching. Oh, remember the days when we could just touch a public object with impunity?
I truly don't remember it.
This thing hundreds of other people have touched. Yeah. Can't wait to touch it.
Let me put my little fingies on it.
The Billiken also became the namesake of Billiken Shokai, the Japanese toy and model manufacturing company established in 1976.
Wow.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you, Florence Pretz, for your weird dream.
Yeah, and for not forgetting it, you know? This is why it's important to remember your dreams.
Yeah, you got to write them down in your little dream diary.
Wild.
She's an interesting looking woman.
Yeah, I want to know more about her. It's interesting that she doesn't have her own Wikipedia page.
I know. I'm looking at pictures of her. She looks kind of like Bjork, but like...
Oh, yeah. She kind of does.
With a kind of Georgian, like, updo. I don't know.
Yeah. She's so pretty interesting. Cool. I'm into it. There's a... I just saw an ad for the Billiken in the newspaper, and it says... The god of things as they ought to be, tickle his toes and see him smile. I've made the whole world break into a smile. Try to look at me without grinning. You simply can't. You must feel happier. You must feel the surge of ambition. I chase away the blues. I bring luck when I come, and it stays wherever I stay. The whole universe is having a laugh with me. Tickle my toes and see me grin. I'll come and visit you 100 years for 100 cents. Wow. Oh, man.
Cool.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Well, thank you so much for this page. That concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
Nothing.
Okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I learned that. What I learned about you? That Lisa's going to have surgery soon.
God, I hope so.
And I wish Hopefully her soon. All the best.
Well, I'll talk to you again before. It'll probably be many months. Plenty of time to Google things and freak myself out.
That's our show. Thank you for listening. Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes and tell people about us. We know we've been doing this for a while. Why not? What if this was the year we became really famous for this?
Spread the word. Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Stop keeping this as your dirty little secret.
Oh, brother. You can follow me online. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller.
I'm at Lisa Draws. Thank you to Rob Pera, our producer engineer.
Thank you to Nate Heller for our theme songs. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hooray.
Yay. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone. And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we host After Game Show, a podcast where listeners submit games and we play them regardless of quality with a dozen listeners from around the world.
We've had folks call in from as far as Sweden, South Africa, and the Philippines.
Here's an example. This is a game we called Zooey Deschanel, where you turn a celebrity's name into an animal pun. You have an example, Manolo?
Brad Gorilla Pit.
Oh, that's a pun on Gorilla Pits?
Yep.
I don't know.
That's Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay.
That's a high quality game that you could expect.
Dr. Game Show has new episodes every other Wednesday on Maximum Fun.
Check us out, please.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.